we did stay away from the dysfunctional family movies like Four Christmases and stuff.
Which... Yeah.
Thought that movie was kind of funny, though. Four Christmases.
It's so not a holiday movie, though. Four Christmases.
It's about four Christmases,
it's
Chris.
It's literally four different Christmases.
I agree, but my point is
there's a whole baby
that's what
Jesus
I'm saying is they're using the Christmas so they don't have to do all the work to set up where you are and what's happening because we all have expectations of
I'm
what's
so
going to happen at Christmas.
You're saying this and then you are holding firm on Die Hard being a holiday
movie? Oh, this is the spicy.
Hello, hello. This is One More Hollywood Podcast, and I'm Chris Moore.
Hi, I'm Katie Marpy.
And I'm Dennis. Thanks for joining us. So it is the end of November, which, wow, this whole year flew by. So everyone is clearly in the holiday movie mode, unless they've already been, which is how things are at my house. sadly, we are done with spooky movie season, which is my favorite, as everybody knows. But, you know, there's a lot of great Christmas movies.
There's some scary holiday movies.
There's
Dennis.
Some I'll mention. Have I watched a couple already? None of your business, but let's move on. so this is our holiday film curation episode. So I'm going to start off and say right off the bat, I have a bit of a hot take. It's not as crazy as Chris's take on what is a franchise, which frankly, we all agree is wrong. But...
Wow. You're really expecting people to have listened a long time ago.
What? For me, what makes a holiday movie, what I consider to be a holiday movie, is if the holidays are a plot point or holiday items are utilized in any way like a prop or a costume. If it simply takes place during the holidays or, you know, like around that, it doesn't make it a holiday movie to me. Okay.
Wait.
I would love to know if you guys have a similar take for this.
Are we getting right into Die Hard right now?
I mean, that's that would be a good example. And I know Chris loves it.
Okay. Because I'll just say I did next to no prep for this episode because I'm
Nailed
like,
it.
I know what holiday movies I like, except for watching Die Hard last night and really analyzing what I thought about whether or not it was a holiday movie. I know that like it is kind of universally accepted, but I just, you know, I have to do things for myself. Okay, Die Hard, please tell me what you guys think based on Dennis's criteria.
Right, Chris, what are your thoughts? Is it a holiday? Is Die Hard a holiday movie?
So for me, it is 100%. And to fit Dennis's criteria, I feel like I'm like in the debate class or the mock trial in high school. To fit Dennis's criteria, what I would say is that the whole purpose, the whole reason John McClane is in the movie is because it's the holiday and he's going to spend his first Christmas with his separated wife and kid. And that's a big, big piece of it. The second is, the reason the criminals are doing what they're doing is because they know there's going to be a big holiday party happening. And they're going to take advantage of that in order to pull off whatever it is they're trying to pull off. Then you have certain lines of dialogue. You have certain music. You have costumes. You have stuff that makes it feel like that. You also have, you know, part of the law enforcement group isn't working because it's the holidays. You have... You know, all that stuff. So it's to me, it is not a movie about the mythology or the legends or, you know, Santa doesn't come and save anyone. But the idea is that story couldn't be told the way it was told without it being during the holidays.
Right. See, for me, while it is a holiday party, I do agree it is a holiday movie. But the reason why I do is as soon as there is that dead terrorist and it says, now I have a machine gun, ho, 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 with the Christmas lights and the Santa hat. I was like, this is a Christmas movie. That's it. It's a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
It happens.
That
now,
that actually was the turning point for me too. I was like,
okay, it could be.
A lot of the like plot points in terms of like it being Christmas time, you know, like he is coming back to spend Christmas with his family and it is a holiday party. I was trying to find reasons. Like, it could be his daughter's birthday or something. Or maybe it was just, like, a big board meeting or something.
Years after Die Hard, I did a movie I sold a movie as an agent that John McTiernan, who directed Die Hard, directed. And I was talking to him, telling him how much I love Die Hard and whatever. He's like, yeah, it was really fun. And he goes, except for the fucking Christmas stuff. And I'm like, John, what's up? I was like, well, originally it wasn't set up as a Christmas movie. We're just having this action movie where a dude shows up. He's estranged from his wife in a building. We thought, you know, whatever. And he said, the marketers realized that it'd be genius counter-programming to have a big action movie come out around Christmas time. So why not make it Christmas so that exactly what you just said, Dennis, could be in the trailer? When I got my gun. And like, so he revealed in the awful way that it was an add-on. There it did take place in the sort of between Thanksgiving and Christmas, but it wasn't like a Christmas party. It wasn't like a, you know, a thing. He was coming home. But so my point is that if you're going to use the origination of it, it was a marketing ploy.
Right.
I liked it because it was such counter programming. And that leads me to asking about one that I don't know if you guys all thought about. But in this, again, it goes against Dennis's point of view, which is what's the relation to the real time of year, not in the story? Because I would say the Scream franchise was launched during the holidays as counter-programming. And in the history of, you know, Hollywood business, it was one of the movies that proved you could make a lot of money off a scary movie that has literally nothing to do with Christmas or, you know, whatever holiday you may, you know, celebrate. And so I think that that's another question is, people know there's people stuck at home because they're dumb and work. So they're trying to come up with holiday pieces of entertainment. But do they all have to be It's a Wonderful Life, which is great and is a specific kind of holiday movie. But I would argue Scream and Die Hard indicate that no, even Lethal Weapon.
Well, I could say Lethal Weapon. I agree, because there's a whole like note in a Christmas tree and all that kind. So there's definitely, as I put forth of what my rules are, I think that that is Scream. I don't see as a Christmas movie. No. Even right. if
okay. also so many it. Like awards movies come out around Christmas that don't have anything to do with Christmas, you know?
That's
so
an
I kind of
point.
Associate that like the holiday time with the awards movies, like knowing all of those movies are going to come out.
Right.
There's but some weird so ones, wait, though. Going back to Die Hard.
Oh yeah. Go for it.
It came out in July.
No, oh, okay. I know. It was so good. They released it in the summer because it was so much better.
Yeah.
That's also why he said, I hate all the Christmas shit because it makes no sense in fucking
right.
July.
I see. Okay. Got it.
Also, do you think, Chris, like that there was also time for it to hit VHS by the holidays?
Well, certainly it worked perfect for them because it also went pay TV and whatever and, you know, DVD or whatever. Back then it was probably VHS. You're right. In the Christmas time. Right.
Yeah.
But it's that thing of all of the decisions along those lines were made, were theoretically predictions of the future. Right. This would be a great counterculture. There'll be a bunch of action movies in the summer. Mm-hmm. So we'll release it at Christmas time. So let's set it at Christmas. Then it's holy shit, this movie's really good. I don't give a shit if there are other, you know, action movies in the summer. We'll put up, and then of course, I'm sure you had the meeting. I don't know anything about this and did not continue the conversation with John. I wouldn't say we're friends or knew each other. I was just the fanboy agent for the script he was shooting. But but I'm sure they had the meeting of, can we pull back on the Christmas shit? Because it's going to be weird in July. Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you never know what else they shot that isn't in there anymore, you know?
Yeah.
But all of the decisions were wrong, but the movie did great
right.
because it was just a good movie.
This is actually a good one. This is a big argument of whether it's a Christmas movie or whatnot. Nightmare Before Christmas. Now, this movie came out the 29th of October, so that doesn't do anybody any favors, to be honest. But I always say it is a Christmas movie more than it is a Halloween movie, despite the fact that all of the characters, with the exception of Santa and some characters that he visits or sees in the Christmas town or whatever, I think it's a holiday movie, straight up.
That's like some good marketing, I would say. Like that's some good positioning, is The Nightmare Before Christmas.
It comes out and literally the 29th.
Yeah. Like, let's just do everything between, you know, Halloween and
well,
Christmas.
Well, I mean, look, if you ask Starbucks, that's when the holidays start. It's Halloween.
Yeah.
Pumpkin spice rolls into Christmas spice.
They start in August now. They just keep
rolls
up.
Into New Year's, right? Yeah. Like,
it's like 90 degrees.
Yeah.
Anytime people aren't at work, the movie business wants to give them something to do. And they seem to think that connection to the period of day that you're in. You know, you make a football movie, it's going to come out when football season's on. You know, you make it. And I'm not sure that's a perfect way to market something, to be honest. I think some people like counters. And I don't think, as you said, Katie, the award show timing is all about voters. It's not about making more money. And so there's a bunch of movies that probably those people would say, I really wish I didn't have to bring it out over Christmas, because A, there's a shitload of other movies up for, you know, for awards, and this movie will play better, you know, in a different period of time.
Right.
Yeah.
They're like, throw a Christmas scene in there. Throw a Christmas scene so that it'll be like, it's like Batman Returns. Like, it's not a Christmas movie theoretically, but there's a whole tree lighting. There's a whole, Christmas sequence in there. So, you know, could it be? Edward Scissorhands, same
thing.
There's
a lot of those.
Obviously, I love Gremlins, which is,
I had Edward Scissorhands on my list, too. I was like, I don't know. That doesn't feel like a Christmas movie.
I know. You know, it's so funny. I watched it recently, and I thought the same thing. What's interesting is that there's this, they usually have a holiday party, the family. This is when Edward has a falling out when they have a falling out with their neighbors. So like there's like stress because no one wants to come to the party. And it like, so basically the party sort of is the catalyst that starts the final act where, you know, bad things happen to bad people who go up against Edward. But yeah, so I think for that reason, you know, I don't think that just simply snow does it. I mean, there's tricky parts like Trading Places has an hilarious scene of drunk Dan Aykroyd as Santa, dressed as Santa Claus. I don't know necessarily if that would be considered a holiday movie, but it's definitely got a holiday moment in it. There's only one movie, Chris, Katie, that I allow to break this one rule. Okay. And that's Rocky IV. Now, listen, hear me out. So Rocky IV, he goes up against Ivan Drago. The fight is on Christmas Day. But short of someone saying Merry Christmas and he says Merry Christmas to his kid at the end, there's like no Christmas in it at all, really. Like there's no, like there's not a lot, you know. But I let it break the rule because it's Rocky IV. So obviously.
Yeah.
Obvious, you know.
Valid.
Now, a movie I worked on is called Reindeer Games.
Oh.
And Ben's character rolls in some Santa outfits.
That's true.
And there's, but I would not say that there's a giant Christmas vibe to that thing. But I think reindeer are connected to, you know, Christmas.
I mean, it's reindeer games and they all dress as Santa, Chris.
I agree.
Think that's a, I mean.
So you think that would fit into your definition of how.
I mean, they're wearing costuming. I'm assuming there's some play on propping. I don't particularly remember every bit of it. Don't yell at me, Chris.
You've never seen it. Don't lie just because you're on the podcast.
I've seen it. I just wish there was a guy with like really big like biceps in it. Anyway, moving on. Sleeveless t-shirt. You know, I think that in general – Reindeer Games is that, but you did also do another Christmassy movie, right? At least Live Planet did. Is that correct?
What, Surviving Christmas?
Surviving Christmas.
Yeah, that was really my wife and Ben.
That's Live Planet.
And because Ben and I were partners, and my wife Jenna was partner with the director, Betty Thomas. My wife and I have the healthy relationship, which is we never work on anything together because we don't think we'd survive. So our companies did it, but really it was Ben and Jeno and Betty. But I visited my story about it, which is just a funny, it's more of a personal embarrassing story how movies can affect me. But Ben and Jennifer Lopez had starred in a movie that Kevin Smith directed called Jersey Girl. And that is not a Christmas movie. And Jersey Girl, I feel like it's old enough now that I'm not spoiling anything, but it's about a couple that loves each other very much, and the wife dies in childbirth. And I got so upset at that movie and thinking about my wife. We just had our first daughter. She was probably like, I mean, what, Chris, 6 months old. That I left, I was invited by Kevin to a test screening, and I saw the test screening, and I was so upset. I went right to the airport and stood by to fly to Chicago to be with my wife and daughter, because I had this panic attack that I was going to be in LA and some shit like that was going to happen. And Kevin was making, he's like, the movie was that bad that you had to get on a plane and go all the way to Chicago? I was like, no. I was so moved by it. Then I got there and I told Ben, I was like, you know, I can't, what, I was like, what are you doing here? And I was like, I just saw Jersey Girl. It made me so sad. I had to come see Jenna. And he's like, wow, I hope everybody has that kind of reaction. That was pretty good. I said, you and Jennifer were so good and whatever. But it's one of those things where Surviving Christmas to me, ironically, because it says Christmas in the title, is the least kind of Christmas movie of anyone that sort of pretends to be a Christmas setup, right? It's a romance. It's a comedy. It's, you know, it's sort of Meet the Parents before there was Meet the Parents. And, you know, that's what I think is funny, is sometimes people just use, because Christmas can have, it's the plot point that makes these people get together.
Right. But yeah.
Jersey Girl put me over the edge.
Yeah. And, well, that's nice. You got to go head over to set and say hi to her and everything.
Yeah, in a different state.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's not act like I drove a couple hours.
No. The
dumbest part of that was not telling anyone. I rolled up on the hotel and they wouldn't let me in the room. So I spent the night in the floor of the hallway because Jenna wouldn't open the door and the nanny thought somebody was trying to break in.
Oh my God.
And so in the morning the door opens and my wife's like, she had to get up early for call. She's like, the hell are you doing here? So it was just an all around bad, not romantic, did not turn out the way I wanted to turn out, but she was alive and my daughter was alive.
It worked out.
That made me happy.
Yeah.
So I do have a question here. So is it like, do you guys happen to just watch holiday movies because they're just readily available, or it's like, or is it like do you have like a tradition? And if so, are there certain movies that are like your favorites to watch, every year?
Mm.
So I'm going to give a really unpopular point of view here. Just start it right off, which is my family needs to watch Love Actually at least fucking twice. Every holiday season.
Oh, yeah, my wife.
I love Love Actually.
I know. Oh. Everyone loves this movie except me. And I'm just always like, come on. It's like Saturday Night Live skits strung together of people falling in love with each other. Like, let's watch Notting Hill if you want to go to England. Or let's watch something. But like, Love Actually. Oh,
I get double whammied. My wife makes you watch Love Actually, and then she follows it up with The Holiday. So I'm
is my favorite. Holy hell. I will watch The Holiday.
Wait, which one's The Holiday?
It's
with Cameron Diaz.
Yeah.
And Kate Winslet. Kate Winslet. Houses or whatever.
Switch. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And Kate Winslet,
I'm so sorry.
Kate Winslet ends up with Jack Black?
I mean, spoiler alert.
I mean, that's the fantasy movie of all time right there.
Yeah.
Love The Holiday.
You know how much
And I would argue, everyone stop. I would argue that you can watch The Holiday at any time of year because it is, yes, it takes place during the holidays. And that is the point, is that they're switching houses during the holidays. And it is called The Holiday. But they mean it in like the way you say, like, I'm going on a holiday, you know. So you can really watch it any time of year. So please let your wife know. You guys can watch it any time of year. She doesn't only have to watch it with Christmas, you during Christmas.
I'm going to say, fuck Love Actually. Have you guys ever seen The Holiday? Oh. It's great.
Please do that. I would normally be like, see, but it's all about relativity. It's all relative. I would watch The Holiday 9 times in a row versus the other movies she makes me watch, which are these like sappy ones where like the city woman inherits a house Oh, yeah. In the country, and there's
the Hallmark
like a hunky,
movies.
The hunky
I don't know.
Contractor.
Those are...
I hate those. But it's always the same
They're
story. It's just
like
a different country,
though.
A different place. There's like one in Australia. There's like.
But you know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that is part of the, as Sonia has done some research on the psychology of holiday movies, you want like an escape from the real world, and you want to have some kind of like predictable, happy something going on, you know? So you like,
yeah.
You know it's going to be a happy ending. You know it's going to put you in a good mood.
Okay.
It's
really?
Just a different place.
Let's
same
go back
story.
To Love Actually.
Chris
Alan
is getting
Rickman
fired up.
And Emma Thompson. Two of my favorite actors, two people I love a lot. Do they end up happy at the end of that movie?
Well,
hells no.
No,
no they don't.
Love Actually is very complex. So that's not really what I was talking about, the Hallmark stories.
It's about grief.
So Sonia's research isn't right.
Well, there's a lot of happy endings in Love Actually. And also Love Actually like started a subgenre.
I mean, Hugh Grant and that other woman, whoever she is, that woman's awesome. That storyline I like. I don't know her name, the actress.
Oh, right. Yes. He's like the prime minister.
When he's the prime minister or whatever.
Yeah, that's good.
That one's kind of sweet. Bill Nye's always funny.
Yeah.
And good is that guy. Now, wait, what's the Queen Latifah one? I thought that was the holiday. Where she goes away to some resort in France or whatever it is. It's called, it's something like that.
I'm so sorry. You guys are just, you're moving through your life not even knowing what the holiday is. Like, I think you need to go watch the holiday. Do you watch Nancy Meyers movies? Yes.
Yeah, I can't do it.
I think you should.
The trailer alone makes me think this is ridiculous.
It is an absolute classic.
Okay, well.
And you should watch all the Nancy Meyers movies. Start with the holiday because it is like holiday time, mm-hmm. and then go into, It's Complicated.
Oh boy,
Something's Got to Give.
I like Something's Got to Give.
So it's last holiday, by the way, is the Queen Latifah.
Last holiday?
Just last holiday.
I thought she was great in that, and that's about I think Christmas or whatever too. But I couldn't remember. I'm sorry. Last Holiday and Holiday, Katie. They blurred in my head, and.
The only way you can make this up to me is to watch The Holiday.
Okay, I'm going to. I told you,
back
my whole
to me.
Family watch it.
Oh, boy.
What about While You Were Sleeping?
Oh, classic.
Is that a holiday
Definitely.
Movie?
Definitely, yes.
I fell asleep during that movie. It's an aptly named feature.
No.
That's too cheap, Dennis. Josh, cut that out. We can't have Dennis making sleep jokes
I would argue,
on While You Were Sleeping.
Then there would never be anything I said if they cut out all my bad jokes on this podcast.
I feel like it's one of those movies that isn't really considered a holiday movie, but it is, it like takes place around Christmas and it's a very warm and fuzzy, happy holiday movie that I would recommend. But you could also watch it any time of year, just like the holiday.
Yeah, well, people need warm and fuzzy a lot more often than just the end of the year.
It's true.
I like really positive, bright and sunny ones like Scrooged. I think something like that is really nice, you
okay.
know?
I'm
Which
glad
reminds
we're getting
me
into
of working
this.
In this industry. I think that is a very good industry-friendly film. I think
VCR
it's,
towel.
You know what I mean?
VCR towel.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into running those lists to like Planet. Who gets a bucket of popcorn and who gets like just a note? But no, there's
card
that
popcorn. Hard popcorn.
Hard popcorn. That's how it went, man. You know what I'm talking about? That's how you knew if you know. You're doing well one year, you got the popcorn. You next year, you got the card. Uh-oh, you fell out of favor, which is a little bit different, than I'm sure some places do it. But yeah, he got it. It was a towel or a VCR. I also like Just Friends, which I don't know if you've seen. I like it. It's about New Jersey. Obviously,
yes.
Wait, is that a Christmas
also
movie?
Not,
is that a holiday movie
Also
in
not
any
quite,
way?
But it does take place around
There is caroling. There's a whole moment where the crazy actress destroys an entire like house of decorations. It follows my rules. It follows my rules, everybody.
If we could just get back to the Christmas Carol adaptations really quick.
Oh, yes.
The,
of course.
The number one Christmas movie? The number one holiday movie?
The one that
is that what you're saying? A Christmas Carol is...
Over. Well, it's certainly the one that gets done and redone over and over and over again for the holidays.
Right, the three ghosts and stuff.
The best iteration of it is the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yes.
Have you seen it?
This is where I do agree.
I have.
Michael Caine really?
Michael Caine is incredible. I'm a huge Muppet fan. So
I had the VHS as a kid. Like I thought this was like my own personal thing that I loved that movie. And I thought it was like an absolute quality adaptation of A Christmas Carol. And then I became an adult and realized a lot of people really love this movie. And a lot of people think it's a really quality adaptation of A Christmas Carol.
Absolutely.
So I would say The Muppet Christmas Carol.
Fair. That's a good one. I mean,
Scrooged,
the three ghosts.
The one Dennis and I were talking about was Scrooged, which is Bill Murray.
Yes.
Yes. Sort of a modern day thing. But I like the original too. The black and white old one and whatever, I forget who the star of that is, some British guy, but it's a wonderful story, because I do think over the holidays you think about who you are, and some people are faking it, some people are doing it for real, and then I think some people do occasionally get moved.
And then roll into the New Year's, where people are always like, new year, new you. Like, it is a really unique time to sort of have self-reflection. So,
and It's a Wonderful Life is in that category, where he's trying to figure it out, you know?
There are some people I wish would be visited by three ghosts this year, but that's a whole side. Chris, you're not on the list. It's okay.
Thank you, Dennis.
I'm just letting you know.
But wait, what happens when somebody adapts it not like that? They steal the concept. So like
ghosts of girlfriends past.
Yeah,
there you go.
I mean, that's not really a Christmas movie or even a holiday movie. It's just the idea. And I thought it was kind of cute and sweet. I'll be honest, I was a producer on it for a little while. But it's like, I remember thinking, are we going to upset people that we so clearly took this? The writers did. I got involved after they wrote it. But like, how does that play into the holiday thing? Is it just a marketing gimmick, or is it like, well, that's a good idea, getting visited by ghosts?
I think it's also like a familiarity thing. Like, people, are, especially around the holidays, you want to watch the same movies, like The Muppet Christmas Carol that you always watch. But, you know, some like a familiar story, if you're like, oh, this is kind of based on, I understand the ghosts of girlfriends past because I understand the concept.
Right.
I feel like that's, people like that.
Yeah. That story, I mean, even High Fidelity to some degree does kind of like the mending of going to visit the ex-girlfriends. But that one was, I mean, I thought it was a fun movie. I think Matthew McConaughey is always funny. And obviously Emma Stone's character was wild, from what I remember. Braces and all. I do like sort of the darker side of some of these things. Well, obviously loving Scrooge and all that stuff. Even like The Ref, which is like, could arguably just be a play because it's all in one house. But I also noticed somebody had mentioned to me the Harry Potter films have the holidays playing a role in some way or another in a lot of those things, which I think is a clever, you know, I haven't read all of the books, so I don't know how involved Christmas is in each of the books as much as it is in the movie. But that tends to be a big thing also.
Every book is a year, a school year for them. So they always have Christmas in there. That is like a kind of like comforting.
Well, in the Harry Potter thing, it's also story or plot or whatever you said in your rules, Dennis, was that, I mean, if you're a lonely kid whose parents got killed, and I mean, the holidays are the worst. It also makes sense that when they were picking what they were going to do in the movies, that they're like, well, this is the best way to present it, you know, in that way. But again, I feel like it's not a holiday movie only because for me, I guess, I don't know how to articulate this with your rule, but there's things where they use the holidays happen in a story that has nothing to do with the holidays. They're a setting, like, or a
plot. Yeah,
yeah.
If it's just a time,
like,
but it's not a, yeah.
You know, Lethal Weapon, I could go back and forth on. It opens in a Christmas tree lot where they're selling Christmas trees. It, you know, there's an accident. Their car comes crashing through a living room and destroys a tree. There's, you know, a dance the daughter's going to. But the story, the actual characters, and some people would argue that Mel Gibson's character, you know, is having this moment of sadness where he almost kills himself because it's the holidays, right? Right. But the question is whether that's enough that it's about the holiday, or is the holiday the positive spirit that you were talking about, Katie, the Hallmark spirit, mm-hmm. the while you were sleeping, the, you know, where there's a vibe you just want to believe in a little bit of a better world during that period of time.
Yeah.
So you see those movies, you know, Lethal Weapon's about some ex, you know, I think they're Vietnam guys who are selling drugs and killing girls, you know, like that isn't the holiday spirit kind of movie.
Speaking of Bright and Sunny, have you guys seen Krampus? No? Okay.
No, we talk household. About it a lot on this podcast.
We are a big Krampus household.
So
here.
I think I'm double featuring the holiday and Krampus.
You should. I would say that would be a really good move on your part.
Yeah.
Krampus.
Which way would you
that
order?
That would be fun.
I would do
definitely Krampus first and then
Krampus
the holiday.
First. So you want to go to bed and feel comfortable at night, because the last thing you saw was like Jack Black dancing on New Year's Eve. That's probably the best way to go about it. I will tell you, Krampus does not end very nice, which is why I love it. I'm a big fan of when these movies don't end in such a positive, like wrapped up happy way.
Well, just to go back to Chris's question about like, what are we looking for during the holidays? Does it have to be like happy, familiar things? I think there should be something for everyone. This is what I was thinking when I was watching Die Hard. I was like,
this is for Chris.
I was like, you know, people who really like this level of action movies, they need this during Christmas too.
Katie,
they need a Christmas movie too.
He tapes a gun to his bare back.
It's a good movie.
One bullet left.
It's a good movie, and I think it should be considered a Christmas movie, just so that you guys have something.
It would be even more Christmassy. The only thing better would be is if Santa showed up and put that bullet in his gun.
Yeah.
So, speaking of which, Chris, have you seen Violent Night with David Harbour yet?
I have.
Which is
mostly because I love David Harbour.
Yeah. But Santa Claus taking down some terrorists? Like, how do you go
wrong?
Well,
but see, I think that's because the one I was going to bring up, and that I would say similar to Silent Night, is the Bad Santa, the Billy Bob Thornton one.
Right.
Because there's other movies and storytelling that try to counter program to it, right? So you have an expectation of what a Santa is supposed to be like. So, like, your really funny scene that you talked about in Trading Places where Dan Aykroyd is hammered and he's stealing food and putting it in his thing, like that. That's counter-programming to what the costume usually means, right? And, you know, and in the case of Bad Santa, it's even worse. And the point is that, you know, I bet the theory was, hey, underneath all those Santa costumes and fake beards, they're just dumbass guys like everybody, you know, like everybody else. But that's why I think some of them become holiday movies as more marketing than they are as they needed holiday.
Yeah.
Bad Santa, in my opinion, is similar to what Katie said, which is about Ghost of Girlfriend's Past, which is you're sort of together, you understand the ghost visiting you concept because of A Christmas Carol. So the movie doesn't have to do a lot of work to, you know, convince you what the theory is because you've seen it, right? Mm-hmm. And in Bad Santa, it literally the title is saying, this is a different kind of Santa, but we're counting on all of you to know what a normal Santa is, or this won't be funny, you know? And I think holiday movies sometimes fall into that, where they're using the stereotype as a moment for the audience to feel like they should understand something, and then they're playing against it, you know? And I don't know if that makes it a holiday movie. Right. Yep. Just because.
I mean, that's why I like holiday horror movies, because it's so opposite. Because it's like, you know, this, like I said, the stuff that I end up watching that's, you know, Elf and all, like I really enjoy those movies, but it's like you can get a cavity for how like sweet and corny some of that stuff is. So every once in a while, sprinkle in a little Black Christmas, a little Silent Night, Deadly Night, you know, a little bit here, you know,
like
there.
Speaking of it being marketing, how well do Christmas movies do? Like financially, you know, I feel like on the one hand, they don't seem like they would be super profitable because they're like very much, you know, a specific niche. But at the same time, what about like people who are like continuously watching them over and over again? Or, you know, like what's like the financial?
I can't believe you asked this question because everyone working on this podcast is going to be so mad about my answer because she just set me up so perfectly boring radio repetitive comment. But Katie, I think the big answer to that is that now people are much more comfortable watching stuff at home.
Mm-hmm.
And that there was this big thing about getting, you know, you have 12 relatives at home, you get them all out of the house, you get them in the movie theater, you do whatever. The last time I remember that happening was the first Knives Out, which isn't really a Christmas movie, but it came out over Christmas time. And my whole family, 16 of us agreed they'd go see it, you know? And now today it would be more a battle over who's watching, you know, on a big screen. And then anyone who was really upset would go watch something on their own, on their laptop or phone or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is because we as a culture have a little bit left the group experience of watching stuff. It's a smaller group sometimes. Like you may invite three or four of your friends over to watch the holiday this season too. But I doubt if somebody re-released it, you'd be writing all your friends saying, hey, let's go see the holiday in theater.
I think she would. Yeah, probably. I do think I would. No, I do think that there's more of like a tradition of watching like holiday films at home around the holidays with your family, you know? So I would say if you're making a holiday movie, like a new one, it might
streaming
actually be better.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, here's a wildly interesting fact. At least I think so. We'll see if the listeners agree or you guys. But they do well in the box office, but not recently.
Mm.
Out of the top 10 highest grossing Christmas movies, only two were in the last 15 years, which is The Grinch in 2018 and A Christmas Carol in 2009. Carrey. Both were animated. There hasn't been like so that's the thing is like over 15 years ago, you have to go back to find something that was like really high grossing in theater. It feels like a lot of these things are coming out. I know that like Christmas Candy Cane Lane is coming out soon with Eddie Murphy, and that's going on Prime, and they're pushing stuff. I don't know if Wonka is going to be considered. I don't think that's a holiday movie, maybe whatever. But a lot of these movies have just been hitting Netflix and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I guess it just makes sense to have it all on streaming.
I guess it also depends on like if it's a kid's like a family movie, which a lot of holiday movies are. But because I could see actually in the theater something like The Grinch doing really well because like a lot of people are taking their like young kids and families and stuff to it. So that makes sense.
Although,
live action.
Apparently part of the
in a while.
MCU and the, you know, the sort of Pixar sort of little dip they're having right now is because they all come across as kids' movies. And there's a lot of kids today coming up saying, well, I want to watch the not kids movie, you know? And so it's interesting, you know, we'll have to see what happens this season if people go, right? Like I actually think Nightmare Before Christmas, which you never finished that storyline that you were talking about, Dennis, but is a fascinating study because it's a hit and people play it almost every season. Because I think because they haven't seen it, but it has the word Christmas in it. Or somebody's cool and is in like the family, you know, the parent group that decides, you know, whatever. I mean, the school my kids went to, the elementary school, had a movie night over the holidays where families would get together and they would talk. And that movie got shut down. Like it was halfway through and the parents went crazy and shut it down.
Whoa.
Just because the kid is so sad and such tough things happen.
Yeah.
And another parent who'd seen it felt that the ending wasn't redemptive enough. Like, and that's a little bit the Willy Wonka thing too, which I mean, they all come from a similar kind of background, but the idea that, you know, that girl is a blueberry, you know, TV Mike is miniature. He, you know, like Willy Wonka doesn't come back around where they all walk out of the chocolate factory perfectly fine, right? Like,
I feel like they just threw some sentences in there where they're like, oh no, we're just gonna like
Billy will be fine in 2 weeks, don't worry about it.
They're just gonna stretch him out, it'll work out. You're like, all right, But yeah, I mean, between that whole
I walked through a witch's hex. That's all you got to say.
Just one sentence. Just
I watched through a witch's hex.
Oh, okay, cool. That makes total sense.
Great.
Yeah.
Because I think that's when the audience gets the maddest. I think the audience gets the maddest if they think, because it's animated, it has the word Christmas, it doesn't have the word nightmare, but it's like, you know, that, and then all of a sudden it's scary or a little bit more thoughtful or... You know, you're Alan Rickman in Love Actually. Like, wait a minute. Why did I end up in this situation? But
see, this is why people like Hallmark movies.
Right. Because you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it happens. Right. Yeah.
That's all you want during the holidays.
Yeah.
I remember when I first saw While You Were Sleeping in theaters, I turned to the young woman I'd brought with me and I said, okay, let's just be honest. When this dude wakes up, he's loving Sandra Bullock. Who cannot love Sandra Bullock? Like, it doesn't matter what lie she told.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what happened. Sandra Bullock's awesome. I'm like, yes, I'll get knocked out again if this is what happens when I wake up.
It just ends so sadly each time. The woman doesn't fall in love with the contractor. He doesn't love her. I can't believe it.
That's what I love about Groundhog Day, which is clearly a holiday, but a different holiday.
Yeah.
But I just love that, like, he goes, what, like 75 times and he still can't get it to work out. You know, she just keeps breaking up with him. And you're just like, whoo, this is a big effort he's taking here. And then finally he gets it right. It's just like, come on.
That's such a solid
movie. It is true.
It's a great movie.
So I do have a question now. We talked about all like a wide variety of these Christmas movies. Let's talk about whether or not some of these movies like still hold up. There are some that I feel like because there isn't a use of technology or a situation within that like technology could solve it, it tends to make things much easier. I look at Elf. Obviously, Elf, I mean, a more recent movie is 2003, but still, that's 20 years ago. My gosh, 20 years
ago. I know. Isn't that disturbing?
So, that's horrifying. 20 years I read it, I was like, oh my God. So 20 years ago, but there isn't really anything in there. I mean, there's a VCR comment or something, like, but there isn't really anything that like could be solved. It's tough to say that about Home Alone. It feels different.
For me, don't think it holds up. Home Alone.
I don't think Home Alone holds up.
What?
I just don't.
Oh, I'm shocked.
It's just for me. I enjoy the movie. But for me, watching it, it just feels like it just feels so dated.
I see it's dated. Yeah, I see.
So dated because the whole idea of like the phone lines are out and then there's no, I don't know. It's just so interesting.
But it's also kind of a nice like nostalgia for the holidays, you know, like, oh, the phone line's out.
I mean,
no other way to contact.
I mean,
I just wanted to know that we're about to have some real technical difficulties if you keep going down this road.
Yeah, Josh said he's going to cut my mic. But this kid, he's building all these unique traps, but then he can't just like go somewhere and borrow, like, come on, like get a phone, like do something.
Oh my God.
Okay, but Dennis, that sounds like you would have hated it when you saw it the first time.
No, when I saw it the first time, I was about, you know.
Right, but I think that's the other question that Katie brought up was the sort of family aspect or the nostalgia aspect versus just a solid movie. If we were going to recommend to somebody, hey, you got 2 hours? I certainly, Katie may not have just had this experience, but I would say watch Die Hard. Like, it'll deliver for you.
No, I did like Die Hard. I was really overanalyzing it.
Right, and Katie's saying watch Holiday, right?
Yes.
But my point is, I'm with you on Home Alone. I even had the embarrassing moment, which is you're all jacked up to show your kids. And you're like, 10-year-old is like, Dad, this movie is so fucking boring.
See,
like,
now, I don't have kids, so I do wonder how that's going to be. Because I'm obviously obsessed with movies, and I almost wonder how horrifying it's going to be for me to be like, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
And then just them being like, God help me if it's Star Wars.
You just stop saying it, man.
I know. No, that can't be.
Well, it's funny. There's only a small window of age, I think, you like Home Alone. I think there's a... age empowerment.
However old Katie is, and
that like, no, because I think Katie's is, I think Katie's is nostalgic. Meaning, okay. I think if Katie saw it right now for the first time, she'd say theater camp was better. Right?
maybe.
Yeah, probably.
But theater I camp think was that it. If you remember how you felt when you saw it the first time,
yeah,
you You think to yourself, yeah, like, oh my God, this movie just made me so happy. Young kid, he's taking care of the criminals. It's kind of funny. His parents are morons. They forgot about him, but he was fun. And he did some of the stuff I would do. He ordered food. He pretended this. He did some funny stuff with the TV. I liked all that, right? And that's still pretty good, in my opinion. It's definitely in that Christmas movie, but I would say Christmas movie for kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like in my family, the funny thing, and I was going to ask you guys because we're not only movies, is there's not really a television show or series that I could think of. I tried that is sort of holiday focused, right. And I'm sure the answer is obvious.
I tried the Santa Claus series because I like the Santa Claus movie, or at least my wife really likes the Santa Claus movies.
I loved that movie as a kid. The Tim Allen one?
Yeah.
But then they have a series. They have a series now, and there's a second season coming out this year. I think it already may have dropped, but and we tried to watch the first season. We're like, all right.
Yeah.
It just wasn't.
So the ones I was thinking of, the ones that we watch nostalgically and the older kids tell the younger kids they have to watch it, are these claymation things. I think they were like some animation, you know, older animation companies like Kris Kringle, and there's the snowman and the, you know, there's some music in it, and there's a Frosty the Snowman version. There's a Rudolph the Reindeer version. There's like six of them that are these sort of stop motion musical family things. You know, the Heat Miser and the Cold Miser. And
that one's classic. Know, that put one here without a Santa
in front
Claus
of the other. And soon you'll be walking out the door.
You get all those.
Anyway,
all those Burl
we would watch
songs.
Those every year on VHS because we couldn't find them on streaming or on. And I think it's called Rankin and Bass is the company.
Yes,
I can't remember, but
I believe that is correct.
Are you about to show me the DVD
because
you
have
them? Yeah. See, there
it
is.
I bought it for the same reason. I couldn't find it, but I loved that it was in the beginning, or at least the same style was in the beginning of Elf. Because
yeah,
I was like,
exactly.
That's a really fun way to branch it so that, like, if I was to show my, you know, at that time, like, my niece and nephew, like, oh, that's like, that reminds me of Elf, a movie I like. It was actually really nice that they used that, too.
The thing I love about Elf, and that's probably why it's one of the more modern ones, even though it's 20 years old, is Elf went with the theory of nobody believes this shit anymore, right? Like, you know, and I think she plays it great where it's like, but you sort of want to. Right. And so like even James Caan is sort of that, like, this is insane. He's just trying to take my money. He can't
believe. He was
really
so good in that movie. Yeah, it's like the
he's an elf, right? Like, and you sort of let yourself go because I think Will Ferrell's great at doing that sort of not quite connected to the world thing. But it's also the sense you have of it is the people in the movie, at least to me, represent what I think is a relatively honest point of view. If you ran into somebody who thought they were an elf, I mean, even more so, they're as big as Will Ferrell is, right? But you'd say to yourself, okay, this person's crazy. But there's a part of you, what if Santa showed up one day? What if something crazy like that happened? What would you do, right? And so people like the comedy version, I just shoot him because he's crazy. He's an alien.
Yeah.
In this case, they try to help him and get up mental health and do whatever. And then it does a pretty good job of bringing the two, the real world and the elf world together under the assumption that there was a North Pole and there is a place that does it, but he has to get part of more of the real world if he wants to stay with her.
Right.
But it's like, I feel like that's the other reason you haven't seen a ton of Hollywood things is because writers, directors, actors, marketers, they just don't believe they can sell that wish fulfillment feeling anymore.
That's why they do Violent Night, where he just has to kill terrorists. They're like, let's just go back. Let's just do that.
Sad.
It is interesting. Like that whole, because that whole idea that like they need the Christmas spirit to like get the sleigh to go or to, you know,
right.
That sort of thing, you know, it's not as common, I guess. Now I do.
I'm going to believe.
I'm going to find it. I mean, I guess the Candy Cane Lane one is a kind of a different story.
Well, I got to tell you, the funniest, and this is just because I like Stephen King a lot, so I've read a lot of his books, but I also read his book on writing, and then I listened to this podcast.
Which is a great book, by the way.
And
yeah,
the host, Stephen King wasn't on it. The host was just talking about the stuff, and he made this comment. He said, the It movies are basically Christmas movies where everybody has to believe in something more positive, because the monster grows the more negative and the more pessimistic or whatever everybody is.
Right.
But if you think happy thoughts, he's like, that's Stephen King's version of a Christmas movie. A clown in the sewer killing children.
Oh, dear.
But if you can let yourself believe in the goodness of the world, he'll go away.
Right. No,
like, something for everyone.
Yeah,
it's exactly. Like, yeah. There's a foreign film called Rare Exports with this little boy. I think it's Norwegian, and literally they are like a mining country or mining town, and they like accidentally go too far and unleash Santa Claus and his elves that were like this dark evil thing that are buried in the mountain. Like, it's just a most ridiculously horrifying movie, but it's like one of those where it's just sort of like, what if, I mean, again, with the Krampus thing, but it's like, what if there was the dark side of this sort of tale? Because the Krampus thing, that's what I always liked about it, was the whole concept that's where the coal came from, that whole thing.
Yeah, that's Kaiser Sose, man. The best thing Santa did was make us think he's a good fit character.
Yeah.
You know, the best thing the devil did was make us think he doesn't exist.
Yeah. I think, I mean, I don't want to say this is a perfect time to end our holiday episode on that sentence, but I mean, where do you go from here, man? You know?
Right.
You know what I mean?
I love holiday movies. I want to live in that world. I would even trade houses with Jack Black if that was what was necessary.
Oh, I love, this is a great place to end.
Oh, man.
And I will watch that movie.
Everyone will go watch The Holiday.
Had a good holiday and are thinking about doing something fun and sweet and generous and look for the better angels out there, as they say.
Oh. Yes. Yeah. And let us know what holiday films you love to watch. Love to hear from you guys. Shoot us an email. Follow us on social. Have a happy holidays.
Bye.
Yes.
Everybody got a Christmas present early.
Haven't done it in a while.